how much of this decline that we've seen in the catch numbers, how much of is it due to the change in the apportionment, the change in the survey, the way you assess the stocks methodology, as opposed to actual decline in that you believe is happening or has happened in the stocks?
It's some of both, Matt. What we have seen is the overall biomass is declining because we have a couple of strong year classes that are starting to pass out of the fishery. So if we look at the central area of the stock, we've been declining at 7 to 10% per year for the last 5 to 6 years. Superimposed on that is the change in the assessment methodology and in terms of the catch limits over the past 2 years, which has had a big impact on Area 2 and Area 2C in particular. And that has been as a result of research we did looking at migration of the fish, that they are appearing to migrate a lot more than we thought they were previously. We used to think that they had stopped migrating when they had recruited into the adult stock areas, and that's not the case. And so that continued movement has meant that we were overestimating the stock on the eastern side of the range and underestimating on the western side of the range. And so that's largely perceived by folks as some form of reallocation. That's really not the case.
Essentially, the way you're explaining is that you were overestimating in Southeast Alaska for enough time that the harvest rate was too high.
That's correct.
That's
correct. And, you know,
it
wasn't a question that the industry wasn't doing anything wrong. We were simply, in retrospect, giving out the wrong numbers. And that's a very important thing that we keep on stressing, is that it isn't a question of people over-harvesting on purpose or something like that. That wasn't the case. That was the commission giving numbers that, in retrospect, were the wrong numbers.
So at this point, you know, you've seen some signs of improvement. Maybe you can give me an idea of what are you seeing that looks better, that maybe could mean this thing could be leveling off?
What we're seeing is the 99 and 2000 year classes are both well above average in strength in terms of numbers. The problem with it is that their growth rate is extremely small compared to the 87 and the 88 year classes, which is what's been sustaining the fishery over the past decade or so. So they aren't going to make the same kind of biomass contribution that the 87 and 88s did. We're looking at probably 2012, 2013 for those year classes start to make that sort of major push on
when them. Those fish are 13 or 14 years old. And what size fish are we talking about that time, once they're that
these,
old?
These would be fish that are in the sort of 11, 12, 13-year range, and that's fish that are still in the sort of 20-pound range. And that's been part of the issue here, is that particularly in the central Gulf, not so much in Area 2C, but it affects Area 2C as well, the growth rate is low. It's extremely low for some males. In the central Gulf, probably 70% of the males are probably 18 to 20 years old before they're actually recruiting to the fishery. So that's how low the growth rate is. Not the case for females, but males are growing extremely slowly.
One of the things that I reported on from the commission's last meeting was that the commission basically directed you as staff, and not just you, but you and your staff, to come up with potential methods for limiting the charter harvest in the future if NOAA Fisheries does not finish implementing the catch sharing plan in a reasonable amount of time, I guess the way the commission would see it. What are some of the things that your staff would be looking at that the commission could actually impose in terms of limits that would affect the charter operators and maybe address concerns of other folks or whatever?
Right, and I think your point on the latter part of that is the most important one. We really believe strongly that this is a U.S. responsibility, that the U.S. has the responsibility to implement the measures that are necessary to achieve its domestic allocation. So the Commission doesn't want to do this, but we feel strongly enough that the Commission needs to achieve its management goals. In order to do that, we have to have some surety that the domestic partners are going to achieve their individual allocation goals. So one of the things they've said, is, as you noted, was for them to come back and say to us, give us some mechanisms to do this. So the sorts of things that we would investigate is the same things that the Council investigated when they were looking at measures to control the charter fishery in the past. So it would be things like annual limits on numbers of fish. It may be involved with, you know, days fishing. It could be in number of lines in the water. Some of those things are already being implemented. But a lot of this, the suite of things that the Council looked at. So we will work with the Council staff, because when I talked to the Council at its February meeting in Portland, this got the Council's attention that the Commission was contemplating taking action itself in 2011 if we didn't see enough action from the U.S. on this. So the Council folks said, you know, by all means, come and talk to us and let us work with you on this so that at least we have some measures that are coherent with our own thinking about how these fisheries might be managed.
How much is the issue of bycatch affecting Southeast Alaska fish?
It's affecting it a lot, and the The big change that we saw that caused us to go to a coastwide assessment is also driving our thinking on bycatch impacts. And we are still in the process of trying to develop the correct model for this to analyze our data correctly. But it's clear that whereas the past decade we've been thinking that bycatch impacts are primarily local, we are thinking now they are not primarily local. And this has, to some extent, brought this back into the U.S.-Canada arena again. And I think this also got the Council's attention when we were talking about this in February, because Canada is concerned about impacts of trawl bycatch, particularly trawl bycatch in the Gulf of Alaska and the Bering Sea, but the Gulf of Alaska as well, on yield in BC, and that is the same kind of process that affects Area 2C and Area 2A.
I don't know if you have the numbers off the top of your head, but can you give a general idea to the public what we are talking about when we talk about bycatch in terms of numbers, poundage?
The coastwide numbers are around 12 million pounds, and it's been around that level for the past 4 to 5 years. There's been a long-term slow decline in U.S. bycatch, a very dramatic drop in Canadian bycatch after the implementation of individual bycatch caps for trawl vessels. That hasn't happened in the U.S., and that's one of the fundamental issues about bycatch management is that you have, in general, a creative group of people that are out there fishing, and if you give them the tools to do that job, they can often do it very, very effectively, and that's what they found in Canada when they gave vessels individual bycatch caps. That still seems to be an issue that we're having difficulty dealing with in the United States within the council process of trying to implement something like bycatch caps. We have the Amendment 80 process where you have some bycatch co-ops, and that's working to some extent. And we did see some declines in the Bering Sea as a result of the Amendment 80 vessels. In the Gulf, we still have issues with what the commission certainly perceives as less than optimal observing coverage of that fishery. So I don't think anybody really can say with certainty exactly what the bycatch levels are in the Gulf, but I think they're certainly different than the cap. But how much more they are, I don't think anybody could say with any certainty.
But 12 million pounds is the estimate for coastwide in Alaska. So if you look at that 12 million pounds and then you look at the arguments, and this is something a charter operator once brought up with me, which is that, look at this argument that the commercial and the charter guys are fighting over, comparatively to this 12 million pounds of bycatch, this, whatever it is, a few million pounds of fish, down in southeast Alaska. Mm-hmm. Their concern is like, shouldn't the bycatch be the major focus here? Shouldn't the intense activity or concern from the commission, I know you're not a commissioner, you're the staff, but be focused on the bycatch as opposed to on a relatively smaller portion of the overall?
That's a fair question. And I believe the commission understands the issue that bycatch is having a large impact relative to the levels of removals that we're currently seeing. That doesn't diminish the fact that the commission still needs to achieve its management goals on an annual basis. And so we still have some issues dealing with things like the GHL overages and so forth.
But guideline harvest level.
Guideline harvest level. But there certainly is an issue of that the bycatch is the larger issue that can benefit all sectors without question.
What kind of movement is afoot at this point in terms of trying to rein in the bycatch? Is it simply studies at this point still, or is there...
Well, I think there are a couple of things that are going on. One is the restructuring of the observer program. That's going to be dealt with at the June council meeting. Obviously, the commission has expressed its concern to the council about bycatch levels and wanting to see that. It's become more of a U.S.-Canada issue. I think there are several things sort of coming together on this thing. The staff on the council is bringing forward a discussion paper on prohibited species catch that the council wants to consider. Like, they have to really think about the whole process of changing the PSC. So I think there's some things that are coming together in this, and I don't want to be overly optimistic, but I think it's time for some significant changes in how we're looking at bycatch and bycatch control.